what I really try to demystify for people is that a lot of these trends are just reiterations of things that we already know. We just have to think about them in a different way. So a DAO is simply just a way for a group of people to mobilize around a common mission or purpose or values. And so we see DAOs, I think at last count, there's over 12,000 DAOs somewhere in the ballpark right there. They've amassed billions of dollars in collective treasury and do all kinds of different things. So not one DAO is created equal, but it's this concept of pooled assets. So I'm pooling some assets into this thing that's going to be bigger than what I can accomplish as an individual. And now I'm part of the team. Now I'm part of the community.
Welcome to Cosmic RX Radio, a podcast that gives you real-life tools of spiritual empowerment and pure hype. I'm your host and intuitive guide, Maddie Murphy. I'll be serving up your weekly energy readings, cosmic boss interviews, and astro inspiration. Are you ready to love yourself more, manifest your dream life, and own your magic? Let's jump in.
Hello, my cosmic baddies. I have such a special episode with a guest that I'm so excited to chat with and just dive deep with on a subject today that personally I know nothing about, but I am so curious about and think it's so important based on just intuitively when I'm picking up, reading the news, and of course, astrologically speaking. So for your pleasure, for your empowerment, we have on the pod today, Megan Murray. Megan has always been obsessed with new technologies and efficiencies. And she has over a decade of experience in tech and outsourced operations for financial services providers. Her experiences have well positioned her to bridge the gap between traditional markets and new ways of thinking. We love that. Megan ultimately found her way into Web3 and supports several projects in a financial operations capacity, including a prominent social organization called ATX DAO. As someone who is passionate about welcoming more women into the Web3 space, Megan also curates ATX Women in Web3, a group dedicated to connecting women and non-binary individuals building in or curious about Web3. And if you're like me and you're like, yes, but WTF even is Web3, that's what we're going to get into, all of that and more. So meet today's Cosmic Changemaker. Welcome to the pod, Megan. So happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, this is so true. I already have my Sharpie and my notes out, so I will be taking notes during this whole conversation.
Love that.
So I just read a little bit of your bio. We'll get into more of what you do, but do you mind telling the baddies your cosmic bio, aka your big three?
Yeah, my big three. I'm a Leo sun, Cancer moon, and Libra rising.
Oh, I love that. I was peeking at your chart before we got started. And, you know, so many things that I love, obviously Libra rising, ruled by, you know, Venus, money, balance, but also bringing more equity, inclusivity, like justice into that space. So I thought that was amazing. But I loved, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, but that Cancer moon, you have all these like gorgeous Cancerian planets at the top of your chart, especially like your 10th house near your midheaven. And so I love that you're doing this work and really targeting women, non-binary individuals, and kind of creating a different conversation around like money, currency, financial flow, which I actually feel like is one of the not always talked about but important energetic signatures of Cancer. You say Cancer is like how you make money, how you call it in, and Capricorn is like how you organize it and like structure it. So congratulations. You're really living out your birth chart. We love that for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Astrology has been really eye-opening to me because it's really just validated that I'm just doing things the way I'm wired to do them. I'm not crazy. This is just my chart.
Right. Your part. Oh, wait, I'm not crazy.
Exactly. No, this is just how I am. For me, I think a lot of people, as they start on this journey, like that's been super validating. It's just that we've all heard societally about the zodiacs and all that, but it starts and stops at the sun sign. And that's just one fraction of who you are as a person. So to me, it's been incredibly eye-opening and has really helped me understand that, no, I'm just doing exactly what I'm designed to do, and I'm just exactly where I need to be. It took a long time to get to that, but it's been super empowering just to claim that energy myself.
Right? It's like riding the wave versus getting tossed around.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. No, I'm so excited to kind of go in more into your work and what you're doing currently. But first, let's go way back. Maybe, you know, what started you on your journey here? Because I think it's very relevant in terms of kind of the context of what we're seeing around us in this climate. And I also astrologically was nerding out that you started your professional career in financial services in 2008 when Pluto moved into Capricorn. And now we're in the final breaths of Pluto and Capricorn, bringing on a whole new financial structural revolution. Yeah, would you mind telling us a little bit about, yeah, like how you got started here and sort of like the twists and turns that led you to where you're at now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is one of those if astrology isn't real moments, right? It's like everything I've learned about astrology has just been in hindsight and self-reflection and just seeing how these things and these themes really popped up for me. So in 2008, 2009, I studied finance and accounting in college. And I was really thinking for the longest time, like even since I was a teenager, that the financial route, whatever that meant, was the one that I was, you know, wired to follow. And I just felt so compelled and still feel very passionate about that space. And then in 2008, 2009, I graduated the spring of 2009. So a lot of this started shaking out while I was on the sidelines before I had jumped into the workforce. And so I feel like it almost stopped me from going this investment banking route that would have maybe not been as fulfilling or not been where I needed to be. But at the same time, I still had so much background and knowledge of finance and accounting, how all these things work together, and really trying to make sense of these complexities. And so I really started thinking about the different ways that my career path could go without throwing away everything I'd been studying for my entire life up to that point. So I ended up going more the technology route, still supporting financial services industry, but not as a CFP or a financial advisor or a financial analyst of some way. So really started to focus more on the technology, the relationship side of things, and supporting organizations like banks on that side, so tech and services. So still super relevant. I use my finance knowledge heavily myself, right? Because that's just what I studied. And so as I've really continued this journey and continued to broaden my own financial understanding, I just have realized that as a society, we do not set people up for success. The first time that I had a class that really dug into the ins and outs of personal finance, I was a senior in college and it was an elective and I was studying finance. I mean, I'm just thinking like, you know, we expect these 16-year-olds in some cases to start making these huge financial decisions on their financial future, but we don't tell them what loans are. We don't tell them about deferred interest, and we completely gloss over all these things and we get stuck on like Revolutionary War history. Not that that's not important, but you know what I mean? So to me, it was like, that was really where my journey started. And I just continued to dig into that, right? And just like, where does that show up for me? What are ways that I can contribute to that? So I really continued my learning journey and just always keeping an open mind, always wanting to challenge myself. I ended up getting my MBA and started that in 2019, graduated in 2021. And then all of a sudden, I was like, wow, I'm used to doing this, getting this MBA program and working full time. And now I feel like I've got all this time on my hands, right? Because I'd spent 2 years balancing both, Libra rising there, I guess. So then all of a sudden, I felt like, well, what am I going to do with all this time on my hands? And so that's really when I started digging into, well, what else is out there? Started learning about, getting interested in new technologies, working with some different startups and different capacities and digging into that next chapter. And that's what led me into, what is a DAO? Well, this is interesting. What's this concept? And then what is Web3? What's this whole blockchain thing? And, you know, now I'm 2 years into that journey and it's just amazing to see It's like one little thing starts, and then the next thing you know, the whole thing is snowballed. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I guess you never really know what part of the snowball you're in when you're in it.
Oh my God, that's such a good soundbite, because it's so true. Like, the snowball is going, but when you're in it, you're like, is this like the good part, the end, the plot twist, the downfall? Like, you're like, where is this leading? But then you see, and I love what you said about astrology, like not always knowing it in the moment, but as a tool of self-reflection, being like, ah, that was happening, you know, right on cue or right in alignment with myself. And we're going to get into, if anyone listening is like me, like, what's Tao? We're going to get into that because I'm very excited to unpack that through your expert but very relatable mind and intelligence. But one thing that I love that kind of, you know, back to the astrology of it all, obviously, like beginning this journey in 2008 and sort of how that house of cards following that tower card moment sort of led you on this path. I love that because I do think that in all these moments of like the Plutonian crumbling, there's like opportunity, right? For rebirth, for creation, for innovation. But what is so interesting, you know, at the time of this recording, we're in like summer 2023. So we just came off of experiencing a few months in Pluto and Aquarius. That's going to be giving us the sneak peek for like the bigger themes as we enter, you know, 2024 for the next 20 years. And with Pluto and Capricorn, especially in the United States, it's in our second house as a nation. So it's not only in Capricorn, but it's very much like affecting our finances, our money, our institutions, our values. So like what we're seeing now is you put like on, you know, on the intake form that you filled out, like when you have these bank failures, buyouts, recessions that you saw in the original part of your career, now they're sort of like repeating and being amplified. But can you give us a little sneak peek as to why that may be happening, that may be a little different than like the bookends? Like when it started, it was about the housing crisis and certain things, you know, anyone who's seen, what is that, Too Big to Fail? Or, but now at the end, we're seeing repeat themes. But I thought it was interesting, like you gave a little context as to why that might be happening.
The biggest difference between the two is that it's just so much broader than what it was when it was more or less isolated to the financial industry, mortgages kind of being the systematic root of that. And now it's like, it's not just the finance world. And so when I think about this, like astrology aside, it's not that we have a distrust of bank problem. It's not that that's the only thing that we're seeing. It's we have a huge distrust of centralization in general. That's not just unique to banks. Especially in my line of work, we're conditioned and we think very much about banks because that's just what a lot of life revolves around, you know, for better or worse. But I mean, I saw just the other day, CNBC had this article of the top seven most distrusted brands. Well, three of them are social media companies. There's not a single bank up there. So I think that's a little bit more telling that we've just got this bigger, more broader distrust of centralization as a whole, whether that's like centralized power, whether that's like centralized media in some cases, and we just don't really trust the headlines we're seeing or the full picture, whether that's distrust of what we're seeing of people portraying someone that they're not or pretending to be someone that they aren't. I mean, we're seeing this on a bigger, different level. And I think back when we were entering into this journey with Pluto and Capricorn transit at the time, it really was a lot about the bank failures and a lot of the financial elements of it. And so I think what we're seeing now is that we never really learned the original lesson. Banks are still making headlines about creating fake accounts and having hacks and breaches and fraud and all kinds of things that we bailouts too. Like we still do all these things. So we're just kind of doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And we've never really addressed the problem. And now we're just creating other problems that have bled into other industries. And to me, it all just comes back to the theme of we distrust centralization.
Oh, wow. That's, again, I'm very Pluto into Aquarius. And I also love Pluto because it's like this sort of opportunity to evolve, but also Pluto will like not let the lessons be unlearned. It's like, okay, one more time back. Anything that we've shoved down, you know, shoved in the closet, under the rug comes out. So this might be a good segue into kind of talking about this concept of decentralization. So maybe this is a nice intro to be like, what is a DAO for you, for anyone listening at home or me?
Yeah. And maybe we'll start with like, what is Web3? Because that's a question I get a lot.
Yeah. I have that question too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they go like hand in hand, but really it's, you know, the what is Web3 is kind of the demystifying thing because it's so ambiguous and opaque to a lot of people. But I find that the best way to explain to people what Web3 is to go back and explain what Web1 and Web2 is and what we mean by those things. Because otherwise it's like, whoa, did I miss the boat on something? Where was Web 1 and Web 2 in this picture? So what we're talking about here is just different iterations and versions or layers, actually is probably a better word, of the internet. So Web 1 was really just about establishing connectivity, right? We just want to make sure this thing works. We're going to publish content. And so we still do this today. You go to any sort of restaurant website to see what their hours are, and you're just accessing information. So that's what I mean by layers. These things build on themselves. They don't replace one or the other. Web 2 was about interacting with content. And so social media is a great example of that, probably the best that we all know and can feel. So I can not only publish content, but I can interact with other published content. And that's pretty much it. That's just the most simple form of it. And Web3 is really more of a philosophy than a technology, first of all. And it's really about the central idea of ownership and transparency of the information that's published and of the information I'm interacting with. So you see how these things all build on each other. You can't have one without the other. And that's really what the journey has been with Web3. So the way that gets executed is through blockchain technology. Which is, I guess, the next question of what is blockchain? But blockchain is, I know we have so many complicated ways to try and articulate this, but it's a digital record that cannot be altered. So it's just simply a way to verify that something happened. And the unalterability of it is just something that can't be changed. So point in time that this information was captured, this digital record was recorded, and it just verifies that something has happened. So that's just a little bit about Web3 and blockchain as it is. Web3 being the idea, the philosophy, and then blockchain being the technology that enables that to happen. Mm. So then to take it one step further, DAOs, or decentralized autonomous organizations, is what the DAO stands for. And these are organizations that are built using blockchain. So because of that ability to verify that someone is who they say they are, or someone has the credentials that they have, you can verify that they are allowed to be in this organization, for example. So the decentralized nature of it is also unique compared to other ways of organizing that we see is for corporations or nonprofits or any other organization that exists out there, is that there's no executive leadership that's appointed. There's no board of directors. It comes down to the governance, and how that gets executed is really up to the DAO. So same as how every corporation isn't the same. You know, we've got all kinds of different companies that we all interact with every single day. And some of them are privately owned. Some of them are public. Some of them have majority shareholders. Some of them are owned by one person. It's kind of the same idea if we think about it. And that's what I really try to demystify for people, is that a lot of these trends are just reiterations of things that we already know. We just have to think about them in a different way. So a DAO is simply just a way for a group of people to mobilize around a common mission or purpose or values. And so we see DAOs, I think at last count, there's over 12,000 DAOs. Somewhere in the ballpark right there. They've amassed billions of dollars in collective treasury and do all kinds of different things. So not one DAO is created equal, but it's this concept of pooled assets. So I'm pooling some assets into this thing that's going to be bigger than what I can accomplish as an individual. And now I'm part of the team. Now I'm part of the community. And so what's that community doing? I mean, we see these coming up as collector organizations, so pooling assets together to use that for collectibles. We see these as organizations where maybe you buy into this community and now you're part of this organization that promotes artists, for example. And so just by being part of that creator economy, you know, you're able to receive other benefits. We see this with social organizations. We see investor groups taking similar approaches, which are reminiscent of angel networks too. So again, there's a lot of parallels of things we already know. We just call it different things. And blockchain is really what enables a lot of these communities to happen. And it's because of the verification, the ability to not alter this digital record and all the different ways that that manifests itself. So that's about it. It's really just as broad and as simple as that.
That's so helpful. You're so clear. Thank you. Before we started the podcast, I was like, you're going to explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old. No, a 3-year-old. No, explain it to me like I'm in utero. And you've done a good job because my brain is like, this feels good. Whereas normally my brain like tunes out and I'm just like overwhelmed. So I appreciate that you are so relatable and make this so accessible. I think it is really important for people to be literate in this or comfortable or just like be open, self-included. And of course, my astrologer brain is just like, wow, this is so Aquarian, right? Like the community getting together, the collective. I like how you're just sort of drawing the parallels between, you know, something we already kind of do through either nonprofits or corporations or angel groups. But I think, you know, this digital blockchain, the inability to fake it anything is what I'm laughing at. Like, I think one thing that Pluto and Capricorn really exposed was the shadow of like false everything, false leaders, false structures, false systems. And I'm thinking of, for some reason, there's some, I don't even watch it, but some reality show about some realtor family. And I was listening to a podcast about it, like all about scam artists. And I was like, wow, they really got themselves into some hot water because they were literally copying, like cutting, like with scissors, like bank documents and copying and pasting them to use them to secure other loans. And this was only like, you know, in 2019. So I'm like, wow, like, yes, it's definitely time for something new. And I think this distrust and this disenchantment that sort of we all feel collectively, it's nice to hear this like decentralization as sort of like a pathway or a solution and like blockchain, like through that, because I think sometimes it can just be overwhelming to be like, how do we feel empowered in this moment? And I appreciate that. And I think just hearing it through your lens is giving me food for thought in a way I've never really like approached it. And so in kind of the continuing of the demystifying this work. So thank you for also explaining Web3. So for people who are like me, and this is like, wow, I am just beginning to get my feet wet here. And okay, phew, now I'm not scared. Now I don't think this is just something only for people who are super like tech literate or futuristic or like immersed in this world all the time. What are like some of the tools? Because I know this is very much what your work is in ATX Women in Web3. Like, what are some of like the tools or beginning steps to people from all different like industries or walks of life or wherever you're coming from? Like, how does someone begin sort of engaging or flirting, even dare I say, with Web3 and this DAO life?
I mean, really, the starting point is just to be curious and just to start educating yourself through whatever resources work for you. You know, in my case, I live here in Austin, Texas, so there's a really strong Web3 community. So I was able to find weeknight educational topics about whatever it was. And so literally just started showing up and going to just some of these events. I always have a curious mind with this sort of stuff. I think like when I start to feel like, oh, maybe a little stuck or like I'm ready for that next thing, it always just for me starts with learning. And so really finding what those resources are. I'm also a big in-person person, I guess. And so being able to find these communities and as through like my work with ATX DAO, what we've realized is that, and the ATX also stands for Austin, Texas. So that's not like a specific Web3 thing.
But anyone can think back at home. Yeah,
exactly. But this whole concept of a DAO or a decentralized organization that is completely focused on just connecting the local community doing different events and working with businesses in unique ways. We're engaging with policymakers. And one thing that we've come to realize is that not only are we very far ahead as being a thought leader and having a huge track record of success of different things that we've accomplished, but now we're having so many other cities across the entire globe reaching out saying, how do I do this? Like, I want to do this in my own city. And then seeing how many of these are just like popping up, these communities that are just trying to attract people together just with that idea is just incredibly motivating. And so ATX Women in Web 3 has become, to me, a natural side step or side project along that, because we see this with all new technologies. This is not unique. I mean, like, my entire career has been in male-dominated fields, both in the tech space and the financial services space. Then you combine those together. I mean, there's so many times that I've been in a board meeting where I'm the only female or I'm the only woman that's represented at an executive capacity. And so I have always felt passionate about bringing women into the space. And now it feels like it's my chance to do that, because we need to engage, we need to promote women at the beginning of these things. As we wait until things are further along, then there's not as much space to get in on the ground level. And so that's really what ATX Women in Web3 is mission to do, is to have different events and different ways that we can promote. A new project we're working on is how do we engage with female digital artists and work with them on how they can adapt their art in new ways. So we're literally launching yoga clothes that have art where the patterns are designed by digital artists. I mean, this is just like something physical that we can interact with, right? Like, just throw these on and head to a yoga class. And, oh, hey, where'd you get those? Oh, well, you know, this is a female digital artist. And then all of a sudden, we've engaged in something that's first feasible and something practical that you can see. But then also, we slowly start to introduce the concept of, okay, well, digital art has been around for all this time. This is just a new way of doing what we've always done.
I love the tactical, like, you know, tangible element of that. And I think too, you know, one thing you had said before about like, oh, in your intake, it was like, this is for digital artists, but not all NFT.
That's right.
Which I think is also nice for people to hear, because again, that's another phrase, or another of our beautiful acronyms that might get people a little like, ooh, like clenched for whatever reason. So I also like that you're just introducing this in a way like, hey, we all know digital art by this time in our lives, right?
Or regular art that's been digitized. I mean, our very first artist is like, sure, her medium is oil and water. And so it's just digitizing, you know, meeting people where they're at, right? And not trying to get her to change her art, but rather just, well, how can we just reimagine this and take what you're doing and put it in a different channel? And then it becomes additive to what the creator is doing rather than replacing it. And I think that's important too, because we don't necessarily need to replace these channels. And that's how you start to grow adoption, is by just creating an extension, a new way to get this out there, whatever it is.
I love the additive instead of replacing. That feels yummy. And this is all interesting. I even love like the micro invitation here of like, yes, it's community, it's collective in that Aquarian way, but it also feels very like, no, this is something, yeah, in your local city, in your town. Like, I like the way that you're also framing this. There's so many astrological themes coming up. I literally have to bite my tongue, because it would just be an hour long of me being like, and now let me just do live commentary, everything you said. But, you know, some of the things that we are seeing is this, you know, we've had Uranus and Taurus that started in 2018. And it was like, hey, Uranus, revolution, upheaval, change, progress, innovation, Taurus, money, resources, values, land, agriculture. Like, and, you know, as I always feel going into a transit, ooh, what could this be? You know, you're like, how could this change? How could money change over the next 7 years? How could art, Taurus, you know, change? How can we change, you know, our idea around real estate? I didn't really understand it. And then living through it now, and then of course in 2022, the North Node met up with Uranus. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be like really sped up. And we immediately started seeing so many of these conversations entering the main stage. And I was like, okay, this is super interesting, super like want to understand more about this. But one thing that I think that I've heard in conversation, and I think this is a little bit of our internalized patriarchy, internalized late stage capitalism talking, but you know, Taurus really has to do with like security and trust. And I think something I hear in people is like, well, how do I know to like trust, right? Like if something's decentralized and who's the authority, what happens when something goes wrong? And obviously I have my thoughts, but I much rather hear what you might say to someone who has maybe like, qualm or something nervous about putting their money or their resources into a group where they're like, who's in charge? Who's the adult? Who's like big daddy bank energy? Or whoever, government.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and there's a couple different angles to that too. I think there's the digital identity piece of it, which is incredibly important and growing more important as if you think about like, we've seen a lot of these, like the deep fakes or the regenerative AI. I mean, that's cropped up. That all of a sudden was out of nowhere. And then we're seeing like congressional representatives that are using their own voice recording to prove a point, right? And just say like, that was not me talking. That was my voice. It sounded like me, but it wasn't my talking. Well, blockchain just by nature being a way that you can use this as a verification layer to prove digital authenticity, to prove digital identity, and to prove that someone is who they say they are, to prove someone has the credentials that they say they do. I mean, that's really the opportunity for blockchain to become so important to that layer, because there's always going to be bad actors out there. Every time there's new technology, there's always someone who's worked ahead to figure out how to exploit it. You can go back to the beginning of time and there's examples of this. So it's, you know, how do we use the technology that we have to cut out a lot of that? And that's where blockchain does have a lot of opportunities to be that verification level. And with DAOs too, it's so hard to have a one-size-fits-all answer to that just because DAOs themselves are so different from one to the next. You've got some DAOs that are completely built on technology and completely like software-oriented, where that's all they do is they design and use these softwares. And so I guess if you think about that, if I'm a user of these tools, then I'm by nature part of the economy, and I by nature have a say in how it gets developed and what features come out. There's so many different ways that it can be executed, and the who's in charge, it really comes up to the DAO. You know, in some cases, you've got the voting or the governance is completely one for one, one person, one vote. And then you've got others that are more of like a more maybe like a traditional equity cap table structure where it's, oh, I own 10% of this. I own 5% of this. So I think we're just starting to see the emergence of what DAOs are capable of. But I mean, if you take the technology out of it too, it's just think about how many different communities that we're part of. Like we're part of the Cosmic RX community, right? Just because we are into this idea. And that's our common theme. That's not all we do. We all do other things outside of that too. But one thing I think we need to start shifting our focus of is, you know, just because I have a full-time job somewhere doesn't mean that my identity starts and stops there, right? Like I'm part of many different communities. We all are. And as DAOs really emerge, if you just start to think about like, oh, well, your homeowners association is kind of a DAO. And just by being an Apple user, you're part of a DAO because you use these tools. Like it gets a little like mind blowing when you start to think about it.
Oh, what a lovely reframe. And I love that. And I just love you when you're talking about like the voting, just the governance of the group. I was like, how deliciously non-hierarchical. Like, I love it. Just like we each get one vote. Perfect. Or percentage of maybe what you own, but still like it just feels so even like on the soul level, nothing to do with like money, resources, or I'm just like, oh, that just feels so nice. Like to have a vision, you know, a roadmap, a blueprint to living in more within that energy. And I love what you said that we all like, yeah, exist in multiple communities and thinking about this doesn't become like your full identity too. It's like just another community you're a part of. So obviously, I'm sure a lot of people, even like myself, are like, okay, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm an astrologer. I do all this stuff. Like, how could I start, you know, getting into this? What do I need to else, you know, learn from Megan? So in terms of your work, we'll start there. You talk and you do seminars and you obviously do a lot of work with ATX for people who are blessed enough to live in Austin. But is there any other ways that people can work with you or learn more from you if they're listening to this episode and this is just like resonating on a deep level with them?
I'm always happy to have conversations. I have people reach out to me all the time. I love just hearing from people and just hearing what resonates, and it motivates me to keep going. So I am happy to be available as a personal resource too. Obviously, a lot of what I do is based in Austin, but as we're expanding and, you know, maybe by the time we're in the fall, we have some more content that's a little bit more accessible to people who aren't just physically located in Austin. So I do see that that's a growing trend and it's something that I want to hit head on. So more to come on that for sure.
Oh, I love that. Well, I'm definitely anticipating that you're going to have some big moves or some big opportunities or another moment of like the snowball, to use your words, this summer, because July 16th, the North Node will switch from Taurus, where it's been since Jan 2022, into Aries, which is your nodal sign. So you're going to be on like an 18-month journey of another like karmic, cosmic alignment into, usually it's like a speed up time of really understanding our inner purpose, our soul's purpose, and also our life's purpose, the thing we're doing outside of ourselves. So I imagine you'll be very busy. And I really was just having such an aha when you were talking about the deep fakes and this thing around like authenticating identity, because that's so much, it's going to be such a big theme with the North Node in Aries. We're all going to be having these conversations around identity, authenticity, like whether that's me on the personal level, who am I, how do I show up in the world, whether that's people changing their names, or whether it's on this big macro level, like, how do I know you are who you say you are? So I think that as you're sort of brewing and in all of this, I'm definitely anticipating some alchemical moments coming up for you that are going to like zing you into the next momentum of the snowball going down the mountainside.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And Aries is known for that, right? Like charging into action. And that was where my astro aha moment came, was once I realized I was in my Jupiter return in Aries, and I was well into it. And then starting to look back and piece things together, I was like, whoa, this is supercharged. So I hadn't connected that with North Node and all of that. So I learned so much just by listening to you and just like reflecting on these things. So yeah, if that's starting an 18-month, whoa boy, then I'm here for it.
Okay, the Jupiter and Aries, and for anyone listening, it's the same thing. The Jupiter and Aries was like the gasoline, the go, the like pulling on the lawnmower, like, okay, or like, you know, setting your sight in a new direction. And then now this is going to be like a really big, yeah, your nodal return. I went through mine in 2020. And again, you go in like, what is this going to be like? That's like, oh, that was a quantum leap. That was a huge, like I was in my purpose. I had locked in. I was doing this work with Cosmic RX, but it just, everything went whoosh, next level for me, really sped up. So I imagine that no matter when anyone was listening to this, at some point, I imagine you bringing this, you know, to a wider audience, or just, you're just at the beginning, I think, of this journey of really being a leader and a trailblazer in this field. And we so appreciate it, because what you said before about, you know, like we need more people, you know, basically anyone who's just not like cisgendered straight man, like in on this early wave. I love that invitation. And I love that you are really leading the way and showing us like, hey, we got this, we can do it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. No, and that's beautiful. And I'm excited. I'm here for it. This is, you know, what I feel strongly about. And, you know, astrology has really just been a way to reinforce that I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing right now. So it's incredibly empowering to know that.
We love that. So is there anything else? Obviously, like, we're going to share your LinkedIn, any like social links in the show notes. Definitely everyone go link up with Megan. Such a huge, like vast resource of this like beautiful, generous wisdom. But is there anything that you want to say, or anything we didn't get to, or anything you just want to kind of say to wrap up out, you know, to the cosmic baddies out there who are just learning about you tuning in here today?
Keep an eye on what we're doing with ATX Women in Web3. I'm really excited to see how that takes off now that we've got some different ways of doing things and trying to articulate much of what we talked about today, but also promoting creators and females at different levels. I do want this community to be digital artists or where we've talked about, but I want this to be a community that empowers and really lifts up women regardless what they're doing, you know, of all kinds, whether that's rockstar realtor or someone who's just an awesome mom who's balancing just like managing an entire household and keeping her sanity. Like these are all important things. And so I really want this to be a broader community about empowering women and how we show up in the world and just really a community. So follow us. It's our website, www.atxwiw3.com. And keep an eye on where we're going and what we're doing. And of course, Maddie, I'll keep you updated on as we have new things that we're rolling out. And I guess just this is just what it's all about, is really just showing up, being curious, having these conversations, just starting there, and then the rest of it will come.
I love that. Yeah, everyone go check out their website, give their Instagram a follow, ATXWIW3. This is giving me reminiscent feelings of when I first learned about social media in like 2006, like when I started to go beyond just Facebook for college campuses. And I remember being like, I don't understand this, but I just want to jump in and start playing and connecting and learning a new way of living. So my invitation to all of you is come join me. I know nothing about what I'm doing, but I'm going to be curious. I'm going to keep showing up. And thank you, Megan, for guiding the way so beautifully. This was such an empowering, clarifying, and just energizing conversation for me.
Thank you so much, Maddie. It's always a pleasure to hear you. So I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're the best. All right, everyone. Have a fantastic day. Go check out Megan. Go give ATXWIW3 a follow, and we'll see you soon. Mwah. Do you love getting your Cosmic RX for the week here and want more? Make sure to sign up for our premium subscription so you can get exclusive access to bonus podcast episodes, all of my astrology info for the month ahead, and live new and full moon calls to help you manifest your dream life with an intentional international community of other cosmic baddies. Sign up through our link in show notes.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want to know more about Cosmic RX, head on over to thecosmicrx.com. And if you really love this show, I'd love it if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. I super love hearing from you and reading your reviews. All right, you cosmic baddie, tune in next week. And until then, remember, love yourself fully, work your magic, and take no shit.